Drive into summer savings at Burt Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on complete car care services like free alignment checks, $20 off any Valvoline oil change, $20 AC checks, and $25 off any service over $250. Burt Brothers Tire and Service.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation, coming to you live from Kansas City, home of the 2024 Big 12 Conference Tournament. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, in Salt Lake City. Matt Biamonte holding it down at Broadcast House. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, Mitch. How was your travels to Kansas City?
It was great, and the hospitality here has been outstanding already, and it's going to be a fun week. I have a feeling that the atmosphere, even for the women's games today, pretty electric at the Big 12 Conference Tournament. So much to get to as we preview BYU in the Big 12 Conference Tournament tonight, and we want to get to your phone calls, 801-575-8255, because, of course, Cougar Nation is for you, Cougar Nation. It's your show, 801-575-8255. Our question tonight, where does this BYU team rank all time in program history? You're talking about a BYU team that's fifth in the Big 12 Conference, a team that had such low expectations, and they've lived in the preseason, the AP Top 25 poll this entire season. It's a great BYU team. Where do they rank all time as they head into the postseason? But let's start things off with our takeaways.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
BYU finished the regular season, Mitch, on a high note with an 85-71 payback win over Oklahoma State. They had great contributions off the bench from Jackson Robinson, Fush Traore, and one of the takeaways from that win was just this team is so connected, Mitch. There's tremendous chemistry on this team. And, look, you see it from guys like Jackson Robinson, who won Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year. He has taken on that bench scoring role when, look, he's got the talent and ability to be a starter, but he accepted that role because that was best for the team. And you just get the feeling at this time, the best time in college basketball, March Madness, that the chemistry, the cohesion of this group is at an all-time high.
BYU finishes the regular season 22-9 overall, 10-8 in Big 12 conference play. A lot better record than I think anyone thought was possible for BYU in their first year in the Big 12. I mean, I remember conversations with Cougar Nation and BYU fans thinking, are they going to win a game in the Big 12? And remember how it started. They were 0-2. They were down early at UCF in Orlando, and you're thinking, geez, this is just going sideways for BYU in Big 12 conference play. But the Cougars have bounced back in so many ways this season to the point where takeaway number one, I think BYU is ready for this chase, as Mark Pope calls it, this postseason.
You know, this league for us is all about the chase. I wish they had picked us 14th or 15th. I think it actually helps our guys focus in towards each other. It kind of works as something to help consolidate our group. And I do think we have a bunch of guys that are hungry on the chase right now and have really enjoyed that so far through the regular season. And then, you know, we're not going to change anything for the postseason. We're still on a heavy, heavy chase and going to continue to, you know, these guys are so special, man. We're just desperate to play as many more games as we can because we don't want it to end.
Well said by Coach Pope. And it's clear that I think he's speaking the truth, Mitch, when it comes to embracing the chase, embracing the challenge. One thing, maybe a kind of a bonus takeaway to that, is it really pays to be experienced in college basketball right now. And I think that is tremendously benefiting BYU. They have a really experienced group. Spencer Johnson was honored on senior night alongside Jackson Robinson and Trayden Christensen. And maybe there was a little first half senior night jitters, but this experienced group overcame that slow start against TCU.
In the first half, we almost had too much energy and intensity. We're almost a little bit ahead of ourselves. And the second half, the guys, one, penetration was super forceful. Both these guys had numerous drives, stampedes, maggettes, off ball screens where they're getting downhill. And then downhill, we're unbelievable getting to 2 feet, making the right play. And when we get penetration off the bounce or penetration working in the Foose or Ali off the roll, that's when teams are forced to do things. And our guys' aggressiveness and patience, it's a real nice cocktail, but they were pretty peaked in the second half offensively. It was actually really great.
A BYU coach giving us a quote about a cocktail. It's just March, baby. Mark Pope is ready. And that cocktail is going down smooth for the Cougar faithful as BYU is riding high. And, you know, takeaway number two, this is a complete team, Matt. You know, they didn't have any players designated to the first, second, and third team all Big 12, which a little bit disappointing. I thought Jackson Robinson or even Dallin Hall deserved to be third team all Big 12. But then you go, who do you remove from those top 15 spots? So I get it. It's okay. But this is a complete team. They had four honorable mention selections. Dallin Hall, Spencer Johnson, Fusini Traore, and Jackson Robinson. The locker room dynamic is as healthy as it's been. We were talking with Jake Toulson, former BYU star, earlier this weekend on Cougar Sports Saturday. And, you know, he credits Mark Pope for the commitment he prioritizes to the locker room and that dynamic. I mean, Mark Pope is pretty candid. He doesn't just solely focus on X's and O's, and that's not the end-all be-all when it comes to being a coach. You've got to meld all these personalities together and get guys to embrace roles. Jackson Robinson, Foose, coming off the bench and embracing that, as you noted. I mean, this team is complete right now, and it feels like they can beat you in the post. They can beat you from the three-point line. There's just so many different ways this BYU team can win, which is beyond just simply live and die by the three. And I think that's a good thing for the Cougars as they head into the postseason.
Final takeaway, the Cougars end the regular season on a high note. They clearly exceed all expectations that media, fan, look, I just don't know anyone that thought BYU would finish higher than Kansas in the regular season and be the fifth seed in the Big 12 tournament. And now it's, look, they're in the position they've wanted to be in for years. It's time to deliver in March. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. That's what matters most. What kind of damage can they do starting Wednesday morning and going into the big dance?
I think they can get to the semifinals of the Big 12 Conference tournament. I mean, you could also draw up a path to the finals because Houston's banged up. Houston is ripe, possibly, to fall in this tournament because they have two players that are out with season-ending injuries that have happened in recent weeks. This could be a Houston team that's like, let's just get to the NCAA tournament. I don't think they're wired that way. I still think I would pick them to win it all. In fact, I still do, but they could be had potentially in this tournament. But I think BYU gets to the semifinals, and I think that would be great for BYU. And if they did that, Matt, I think you're talking about a BYU team that should be a four seed in the NCAA tournament. If they somehow found a way to get to the championship round and get past Houston, you could be talking about BYU as maybe a three seed. So a lot's in front of BYU, and I think that's the fun thing about the Big 12 tournament is that you've got a lot of players or opportunities to not only make it an even more special season, but to add to your resume in the NCAA tournament to where you can climb that S-curve and become a higher seed and really stake down that spot as a team in Salt Lake City with a chance to go to the Sweet 16 in a couple weeks.
And it starts Wednesday morning after they find out who they'll be playing with the winner of tomorrow's Cincinnati and UCF game. And look, BYU, I don't know who you want. UCF is a team that you've beaten twice. Here's what Coach Pope had to say about playing a team they've already beat.
It doesn't matter if we've beat teams or lost to teams or whatever. They're all great teams. And if you've seen in this league, just today, I mean, look at who beat who. I mean, you might as well just go roll the dice and try and figure out who's going to go win a game in this league. It's actually beautiful.
I meant to say Oklahoma State and UCF, by the way. Just had to set it factually correct there, Oklahoma State and UCF. They'll await the winner of that game. Go ahead, Mitch.
I'll speak for Mark Pope. You want Oklahoma State. You don't want UCF. UCF's playing some good basketball as of late. Oklahoma State's checked out on the season, and their head coach, might be getting canned. Same with Johnny Dawkins for UCF. He's on the hot seat potentially too. So this, you know, tomorrow could be whose tenure as the head coach of those teams ends tomorrow here in Kansas City. So I would rather play Oklahoma State, though, because BYU got their revenge and really showed that game in Stillwater was an absolute fluke. And, you know, Oklahoma State's done. They're young. UCF with Diallo and their ability to create turnovers, it's real with UCF, and they can give you 40 minutes of headaches. BYU has struggled with UCF. They won by 5 in Orlando, and they only won by 2 in Provo. Now, granted, UCF had this insane rally in 90 seconds that made it, you know, look a lot closer than it actually was in that game, but still. That was a wild turn of events. So give me Oklahoma State, ideally, for BYU, and we'll have you covered here on KSL News Radio. We're going to roll out extended pregame coverage at 9 a.m. on Wednesday here on KSL News Radio from Kansas City to get you ready for the Cougs versus either the Pokes or the Knights. It's going to be a big-time stage for BYU here at the Big 12 Conference Tournament. And I got to say, the Big 12 tournament just feels big time. After a decade of being at the Orleans in Vegas, this is just incredible. It feels like I'm at an NBA setting here, seeing at the T-Mobile Center, and I'm seeing, you know, pop-up shops of fan gear. I'm seeing actual fan bases show up. I'm not used to this, Matt. I'm used to seeing, you know, 5,000 Gonzaga fans, 20 St. Mary's fans, 100 BYU fans, and then maybe like 4 other people from the 6 other schools. This is actually cool to see. There's actual college basketball fans in March.
Sounds like heaven, Mitch. Sounds fantastic. We got to get to our first break here at Cougar Nation. Taking your calls on the other side, 801-575-8255.
Matt, do you want me to give you a big intro for Cougar Nation?
Sure, Jeff.
No,
that would be fantastic.
Cougar Nation. Here you go, bro.
Hey, Mitch, were you getting some Big 12 eats? Is that why we lost you for a minute there, Mitch?
Yeah, let's just chalk it up to that. I got the Big 12 dog with the ketchup, the mustard, the coleslaw. So
that's disappointing. Yeah, I wanted you to get that Jayhawk mac and cheese right out of the gate.
Yes, so I was looking for that, and I didn't see that. So the concourse had individual stations with one certain item. So there was a station for the Baylor brisket, and so I had to kind of walk around the concourse. I think there'll be more concession stands open for the men's tournament. So we'll see kind of the full onslaught of concessions coming up this week at the T-Mobile Center. But yes, rest assured, you will see me devour some Jayhawk mac and cheese in honor of the injured Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. That's why I picked Cincinnati in my Big 12 tournament predictions to beat Kansas on Wednesday. You know, you can go see the full list of predictions on KSLSports.com, how I see this 14-team Big 12 bracket playing out. I think Kansas goes down. In fact, I think Kansas might be having a quick exit period on this season. Early exit in the Big 12 tourney. I think they're going to have an early exit in the NCAA tournament, which in a way,
it's
Matt,
a shame.
That could take away a little bit of the luster from BYU's epic win a few weeks ago.
No doubt about it, Mitch. I think it does. But I still think, when you think about that Kansas win, regardless of how the Jayhawks finish and they're limping to the finish line, look, it's still an historic venue, and that Kansas team, they were missing McCullough, but they still had Dickinson, and yes. So it's not like the win was it's not like that football Pittsburgh win back in 1984. Let's put it that way.
BYU is getting ready for the Big 12 tournament. They're about to arrive here in Kansas City in about an hour or so. They'll arrive into town. They're en route right now. They just left Provo about an hour ago. And, you know, BYU's got just a huge opportunity in front of them because this is a basketball crazed town. And I think there's, in a way, there's kind of like a story once again to tell, to follow up on that Kansas win where now you're on the Big 12 radar. These fans that love college hoops out in this part of the country, they're going to be curious to see, well, how does this BYU team fare in this setting? It'd be a great opportunity for BYU to give another great first impression and make a little bit of a run, because I look at how the bracket shapes up for BYU. By getting that 5 seed, you know, you're going to play Oklahoma State or UCF, winnable game. You should win either one of those teams. Texas Tech is a rematch game. BYU was up by 16 points on the Red Raiders back in January. If they draw them, which they will if they win on Wednesday, you know, BYU, I think, gets revenge on the Red Raiders. I know Texas Tech's playing some pretty good ball as of late, but I don't expect Pop Isaacs, that guard for Texas Tech, to go off for 32 points like he did in Lubbock against BYU a couple months ago. So I just think the bracket sets up pretty well. Now, call me crazy, Matt. I think it's a little bit worrisome that BYU's playing early morning tip times.
Oh, not me. I don't know. It's worrisome for you? They have a player that is fasting, Mitch. Ali Khalifa.
BYU is not good in day games. It's like the football team. They need Kalani to come out and say, it's time to embrace the night. Like, BYU just doesn't do well in a awkward, early morning, sterile environment like they're probably going to see on Wednesday. So I hope that they are dialed in and ready to go for that early morning tip, because BYU and Mark Pope, they haven't been great in those 2 p.m. early day games. They've never been good at that. So they did win this year against Texas on a high noon tip in Provo. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those, you know, these neutral site games are always kind of awkward, because what can you expect? That first one is always maybe the most challenging, to get a feel for the gym, get a feel for the backdrop, the setting. So hopefully BYU comes out and just is flying high and plays great and can get on a run and make something memorable happen out here in Kansas City.
I'm not too worried about the start time, because BYU will, look, they're traveling right now. They'll get there tonight. They'll acclimate tomorrow, and then it's business as usual on Wednesday. And I just think this team is so experienced, Mitch. There's such great leadership at the top with Spencer Johnson, Jackson Robinson, amongst others, that I feel like they'll be up for the occasion. And then I just talked about the Ali Khalifa piece. If they had played a different time, look, Ali Khalifa is of he's Muslim, so it's Ramadan right now for him, and he is choosing to fast, and he's going to be eating at night. So if this was a late afternoon game, that would be hard to play a Big 12 basketball game without any food, knowing that after the game you're going to eat. By having in the morning, I think it's going to help Khalifa a lot. And you need Khalifa. Like, what he does on the offensive side and then being a big body on the defensive side, if he was on hour number 20 of his fast, you're not getting 100% of Khalifa. That's hard to do. So the early time is beneficial for him and this BYU team from that regard.
I think that's a good point. And that could be something that's interesting to watch, to see how that performs. I think that, Khalifa, if he knows himself better than anyone else, so if he feels like he can fast, I'm not going to second-guess him, and I think that he'll have the chance to be successful. I mean, he is critical, like you said, because when he is playing at a high level, BYU is hard to take down. I thought in that Iowa State game last Wednesday, kind of a forgotten game, how it was, yes, it was against a top-six team, but at the same time, you're like, let's get on with the postseason already. Not too worked up about it. BYU's already locked in to the NCAA tournament. But that was a missed opportunity by BYU. And it felt like when Khalifa went out, the offense kind of stalled. But at the same time, there's this conundrum where, you know, Foose gives you great performance on the glass and defensively. Khalifa's maybe a little bit better offensively with just how the offense operates with Khalifa, because he's basically the second ball handler next to Dallin Hall. So BYU going to have their tip-off in the Big 12 tournament coming up on Wednesday. We'll have extended pregame starting at 9 a.m. live here in Kansas City. Myself and then, of course, Matt will hold it down, get you ready for BYU against either Oklahoma State or UCF. And if they do advance to get to Thursday, we'll have extended pregame at 9 a.m. once again to get you ready for BYU and Texas Tech. But they got to take care of business first on Wednesday. And let's look, Matt, at what's trending up and what's maybe trending down for this BYU team heading into the Big 12 tournament. I'll start things off. I just think what's trending up for the Cougars is their 8-man rotation. I love the punch they have coming off the bench with Richie Saunders, Jackson Robinson, Foose. I just love where this team is at right now, where all eight of those guys on any given night can produce, you know, a 20-point game. Richie Saunders against Iowa State, even though it was a loss, he gives you a 20-point night, which was tying for a career high. I just think that there's so much to like with all eight of those players, and to think that anyone could lead you in scoring, they could lead you in rebound. It's just a great problem to have for Mark Pope with how much depth they've suddenly built with this team.
And the thing that I like too, though, Mitch, is, and it's a good point, I agree with you, it feels like for the first time in a long, long time, like maybe a couple years, it feels like we've settled in on a rotation and players know their roles. And I grew up a Lakers fan. So did you, Mitch, and that's probably not popular in the airwaves here. But as a kid, I used to love to watch NBA championship DVDs, those hour-long DVDs where it's like the road to the finals and they're interviewing players. And I'll never forget this clip from Phil Jackson because I think it's really relevant. He was talking to the Lakers for their last championship with Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, and he was like, don't anticipate your role, Jordan Farmar. Don't anticipate your role, Shannon Brown. Just, you know what you need to do. Go in and do it. And that's always stuck with me because some players need to know, I'm gonna play this amount of minutes, and I need to do these things. And I think this BYU team has finally settled into that. Foose, you're coming in the game. You're a low post scorer and defend the rim. Ali Khalifa, when you're in, we're going to run the offense through you, and you're going to rebound. Richie Saunders, you're in there. Run up and down. Great defense. Transition three. It's like everyone knows their role, and I think that is allowing this depth to shine because the players that contribute at a high level, they come in and they just play free. They're not worrying about, oh, am I going to play 20 minutes tonight and 5 minutes tomorrow? No, you consistently know what you're going to get, and it's allowing them to play loose and free, and that's something I've loved about this team of late.
It's a great point, and whenever you can work in a Lakers reference, it's an even better point. Trending down for me, I will say, is BYU's ability to finish the job went up big away from the Marriott Center. And they had that big lead against Iowa State. They let the Cyclones storm back, no pun intended. And they lose that opportunity to get a big win at Iowa State. That's happened twice now where BYU lost at Texas Tech. They lost to Iowa State. You take care of both of those games, you're the four seed at least in the Big 12 tournament, and you're not playing until Thursday, which could have given you another day of rest. So, you know, those sort of things matter when it comes to, you know, seeding and taking care of business in the Big 12 play. So hopefully BYU, if given a chance to build a big lead, which would be great this time of the year because those are so few and far between, but if you get the lead, you got to finish the job in the second half.
Trending up for me, bench scoring. I just think there was a little blip, and I think it was due to injury where guys were not in their role, and it hurt the bench scoring. So it's nice to see that return. Trending down for me, Mitch, I think you'll like this one. This is a deep cut, but it is a concern for me going into tournament play. Free throw shooting in bonus situations. Look, against Oklahoma State, the game was without a reach, so it wasn't a big deal. But it feels like in a lot of these games in the second half, when they get to 1-1, they're not making the front end. And so you don't even get one. Look, this is Captain Obvious here. You get no points because you missed the first free throw. But at least get one of the two free throws, and you have to make the first one to even get the second one. Those are the little things in a close game. Could that be the difference between a win on the road at Iowa State or a win against Texas Tech earlier in the year or at Baylor and a loss? They got to be sharp in those little situations where they have opportunities. And it almost feels like to me, if it's a 1-1 in the second half, a bonus situation, I'm expecting a miss. I'm not bracing for two made free throws, and that is a concern.
I think that's a fair point, too. And, you know, BYU's free throw shooting has been, you know, hit and miss at times this season. And, you know, credit to, though, BYU, they're getting to the free throw line a lot more than, say, in the non-conference where they were the nation's worst in terms of free throw attempts. They never got to the foul line because they were blowing teams out at that point of the season. But, you know, they're finding their way to get to the line more in these games. But once they do get there, they got to take advantage and capitalize because games in this time of the year, they all come down to the wire, it seems like. In some of these mid-major tournaments, we're seeing number one seeds go down. The craziness, the the things you believe can't happen in March, they tend to happen, and that's what makes this month and this time of the year for college basketball so epic and so amazing. And it's fun to see BYU in a tournament that's at the heart of it all. It is that the best basketball league in America, the Big 12 Conference, right here in Kansas City. Well, let's take our final timeout. We'll get to the question of the day. We'll make some of our bold predictions for the Big 12 tournament, and we'll read some of your texts and comments at Mitch_Harper, at Biamonte Matt on X. We'll see if the phone lines are working. We know we've had some troubles tonight, but we'll get to all your comments here on Cougar Nations right here on KSL News Radio.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to Cougar Nation, live from Kansas City, home of the Big 12 Conference Tournament. I'm looking at the T-Mobile Center right now from my view of my hotel room right next to the arena. It's pretty cool. It's a great setting, I think, for a Big 12 or a conference tournament. I know there's a lot of debate. Should it be in Vegas?
Yes,
should it,
it
stay
should.
Here in? No, it should not be in Vegas. It should be here in Kansas City. We don't want it in Vegas. It's going to be here till 2031, and it needs to stay here in Kansas City, because I will tell you, man.
Why does it need to stay in Kansas City?
Because these people actually care about this tournament. I've flown into Vegas, I've drove to Vegas, and not a soul knows that the Pac-12, that the Mountain West, that the WCC tournaments exist in that town. They're worried about Club Tao. They're worried about table service. They're worried about other stuff. They don't
sign
care
me
about
up. All this stuff sounds fantastic.
This place cares about this basketball tournament. The town is buzzing, and no one's even really showed up yet. And there's already people excited. There's like a whole fan fest area, this Power Light District. I'm telling you, you get out here to this, I think this is going to be a fun scene. Like, Vegas is great and all, but like it's overpriced, just given to the rich and famous now. Kansas City, this is college basketball. This is blue collar. These are people that love college hoops. I'm excited for this, and it's a great venue too. This is a good arena, T-Mobile Center. So I'm okay with this thing just staying at Kansas City personally.
I think if we're talking about relocation places, I might prefer Dallas over Kansas City.
No. Give it to Vegas. Dallas was an absolute failure for the Big 12 tournament about 10 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was a total failure. Vegas would be better than Dallas.
All right, okay.
Kansas
I guess
City's
I'll take your word
got,
for it.
Like, I went and saw Kemper Arena, the old Kemper, home of the Big 8 tournament. It's just, there's a lot of history in Kansas City with college basketball. Maybe there's just kind of this, maybe romanticizing the connection with the history of it, but I just think these people really love college hoops, and you don't see that much anymore because college basketball is becoming more of a niche sport. It really, when it comes to general fan bases, I feel like it's growing in quality a little bit, but the sport outside of programs like BYU, fans are few and far between, where like the fan bases where they actually love their team and they show up with 15,000 fans a night in the gym. The Big 12 Conference is one of the few leagues that actually has multiple programs where you could say they're getting 10,000 plus a night. Most leagues, they can't, you know, produce 5,000 fans to a game because they just don't care. So I like towns that actually embrace the event. Kansas City does, and I think it's going to be a really fun deal for the Big 12 Conference going forward. And when I said I romanticize the history, you know I love BYU history. Where does this BYU basketball team, Matt, stack up in the all-time great teams in BYU history? And I bring this up because I'm sure some people listening are going, "You dang zoobs, you're already getting the cart before the horse and already saying they're one of the best teams." Well, hey, this team has achieved some amazing things already. I think they deserve to be among the great teams of all time already.
I'm not ready to say they're a great team. I only think there's two great teams in the history of BYU basketball, Jimmer's team and Danny Ainge's team. And then there's a bunch of really good teams after that. And this team is right in that mix. And I think what is so exciting, though, about this team is they have opportunities that even those teams didn't have because of the conference affiliation. They got this Big 12 tournament ahead. If they were to win the Big 12 tournament, that would probably put them as, what, the second best team to ever play in BYU history, because that would be such an achievement, and BYU has struggled in the tournament setting for so long. And then they got March Madness ahead of them too, with a really nice high seed, an advantageous seed if they can win a couple games, and who knows, maybe they'll get the home court advantage, luck of the draw next Sunday. So there are opportunities for this team to become the best team to have ever played in the history of BYU, but as of today, not ready to say they're great. You think they're great already without any postseason success?
I think they're top five because of the schedule that they faced and the amount of quality wins that they have, four wins over top 25 teams. That's an indicator when you look at the history of BYU that this is going to be a team that's going to advance to the round of 32 at least. You know, 1988 was a team that almost got to number one in the AP top 25 poll before they fell to UAB, but they advanced to the round of 32. The 2011 team, as you noted, with Jimmer. And I think you got to give some credit to, like, the 1951 team. I'm not going to sit here and say I watched Roland Minson and those guys handle their business, but they won the NIT when the NIT, you know, technically meant a little bit more back then. So I think they've got to be viewed as one of the all-time great teams in BYU history. But I think you hit on something there. BYU basketball has a lot of good teams, but not great because of the failures in March. And I hate to always pinpoint everything on March, because I think that's one of the things that makes this sport struggle from November to February, is that everyone just says, well, it's all decided in March. Who cares what happens in the regular season? I want to see BYU make a run, but I want to also recognize how difficult it is to have success in a regular season, especially in a league like the Big 12 with how tough it is. So this team, to me, I think it's top five all time just because of the strength of schedule, the uniqueness of how this roster is constructed, the low expectations, and blowing those out of the water. It's been a really fun team. I think there's more to be had with this group.
It wouldn't be Cougar Nation, Mitch, without a call from our dear friend Linda. We got to get Linda's thoughts on how great this BYU basketball team is. Linda, is this one of the great BYU basketball teams of all time?
Absolutely. It really is. I think it's my favorite.
Your favorite team ever?
Yes.
Why?
Because I love those players like Noel Waterman and Trevin and Spencer, and just all of them are so good. And Sleepa, they're just all so good.
You make a good point. There's a lot of great players on this team, and hey, if they continue to win in March, Linda, I might be with you and Mitch that this is one of the great teams. Any other final thoughts from you on this team, Linda?
Yes, I think that we're going to pull it off on Wednesday. I'm going to have my pocket radio. It's going to be in my favorite restaurant that I go to on Wednesday mornings, and I'll have my pocket radio with my earphones in my ears.
Love to hear that, Linda. Love to hear it. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Linda is a Cougar Nation treasure, Mitch. We love Linda.
Yes, we do. And big shout-out to Linda and all of Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255 every single Monday during the BYU basketball season. We've been holding it down, taking your calls, and Linda has been a weekly fixture with us throughout the year as we get ready for BYU in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. What's it going to take, Matt, for BYU to make a run in this conference tournament, you think? Is it just solely three-point shooting?
Yes, yes.
What do you make of that?
Three-point shooting, I just think, look, you can't have a bad three-point shooting game, be undersized, and not have quite the athletes that these other teams do, and overcome that in a neutral site. They have to be hitting double-digit threes, Mitch, and they got to rebound well. Those are two things. Rebound, win the battle of the glass, and hit more than 10 threes, and they'll go far in this tournament.
On Wednesday, they could get away with being under that 10 three-point threshold, but you're right. From Thursday on, if they want to get to that championship round, they got to hit at least 10 threes a night. And you know what? It's crazy to think BYU hasn't won a conference tournament title since 2001. That was with McKelvey Wesley, Trent Whiting, Terrell Ladey. It's been a long time. Cougars, go get it done. Go win the Big 12 tournament title. Make it happen. Punch that ticket to Salt Lake in the NCAA tournament. Go get it done.
I just don't care about them winning the Big 12 title. Am I in the minority here?
This is the toughest league in America. You don't care?
Give me the tournament. Mark Pope. I want to fall asleep now and wake up on Sunday. That's what I care about. March Madness.
BYU was falling asleep last year, the WCC, and those breaks never helped them. Cougars, go get it done. Big 12 tournament. We got you covered here in Kansas City. Talk to you on Wednesday.